Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, internets, welcome to the ROI of Why, your podcast for all things business as it relates to impact and purpose. I am Andrew Tuzon, the Vice President of Creative at Firespring, and once again, I am joined by the very lovely Angie Kubicek.
Aw, thanks. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah?
Doing well.
Things going good?
Going great. We're at the Do More Good Conference.
We are still at the Do More Good Conference.
How could it not be going great?
Yeah. It's been an exciting couple days, right? Positive energy, good vibes, all the knowledge and wisdom bombs just being dropped left and right. It's
and just awesome. The diversity of people we're speaking to, of their backgrounds and what has shaped them. Mm-hmm. So, which makes me super excited about today's conversation.
Yeah.
And who we're going to be meeting with, Miss Jamie Pierre, who's with the U.S. Army, and just her background and shaping and helping develop her troops and her people and her teams and the communities she's gone to. I just think it's going to be a really kind of cool perspective.
Yeah, I think the difference in perspective there, but also the similarities that we'll see.
Yeah.
It's going to be cool. It'll be a dynamic and fluid conversation. Before we jump into that, though, we do have to throw some love to the Do More Good Conference as the show's sponsor, right? It's very, very cool to be able to work with them. And if you're not familiar with the Do More Good Conference, make sure you hop over to domoregoodconference.com, where you can check out what the conference is all about and who the speakers are and the mission and the partner page that we talked about in the last episode, right?
The partners, you can go in and understand how your purpose and what you're doing can make an impact. And then you can be a part of this group of people and be in a community.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. And the other cool part about this conference compared to other conferences I've gone to is that we're giving people a workbook at the end of this thing. Mm-hmm. So today they're actually workshopping how businesses can start to go down this path of purpose and how they can start to do more good and start building relationships with other organizations that are on the same mission and path. And so it's not just this preachy, oh, I feel good, but no, you have a game plan when you walk away.
That's so huge, because I've been to so many conferences where you get on the ether so quick and so easy.
Yeah.
And then you go back to the office and 5 days later, it's like you never went to the conference in the first place.
Oh, all those things are in a notebook that I'm going to put on a shelf and never look at again.
Right. Becomes the coaster.
Yes, which is kind of depressing. So hopefully people take these roadmaps and put them into action.
I love that they're doing that, though. It's actionable strategy mixed with real networking.
Yeah. And it's people have done it too. So it's not just this person saying, hey, this sounds great, but no, this is what we did and the key lessons we learned. And so here's a group of organizations saying, this is the roadmap that worked.
Well, they're doing it right. And it's awesome to work with them. And we're just super appreciative of them having our back.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, that being said, let's jump into our conversation today. Like Angie said, we're joined by Jamie Pierre. She's sitting right across the desk from us with her grape Kool-Aid. That's kind of the staple of the show. And so, Jamie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is awesome to have you here.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to be here today.
This is going to be a fun conversation. Before we jump in and talk about, your journey and the impact and things that you're a part of in your daily life, just give us a little bit of background on you, right? For our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with who you are, where do you come from?
Sure.
What's your day job? Right? Just all about you.
Okay. Well, I'm currently the professor of military science for the University of Nebraska, which means I teach Army ROTC, Reserve Officer Training Corps. And essentially, we are taking civilian college students and preparing them for military services officers or the executives of the Army. Mm-hmm. So as you can imagine, we've got a lot of work to do. Right.
Right.
And we don't have them full time. They're essentially college students. We get them for a number of hours a week, class, and then some physical training, and then a leadership lab out in the field somewhere. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of competing interests and things that can take their focus off what our goal is, mm-hmm. you know, and their goal is. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to create technically competent, compassionate, emotionally intelligent leaders who lead by example and treat people with dignity and respect. And that is, that has been my main goal for the group of cadets I work with.
That's awesome.
And I think it's important to kind of pick up. I hope everyone understands that she is in the Army. And I think some people have this view of people in the Army that they're like, right, yelling in your face and that it's so hard and harsh. But the thing that you're really trying to instill is compassion and being empathetic and that relatability. So how has that shaped you in your career as you were taught that? And then now you're kind of informing that.
Right. I have thought about this quite a bit, even in the last few days. You know, what changed from the time I got to basic training mm-hmm. and really wanted to quit and had a drill sergeant say, you can't quit or we're going to send you to jail. And I think that was just a scare tactic to keep me sure. focused, and it worked, thank God. But, you know, I think really this change in culture that I witnessed from the time I came in 1996 until I became an officer in 2002 and beyond, we were an army at war. I mean, we were mm-hmm. a nation at war. And you quickly figure out that this is a volunteer army. And if you want people to stay and perform the mission, you got to treat them right. And yeah. you have to be there for them. And, you know, we have a lot of you know, things that go on overseas and then people come back and they feel disconnected. And so the Army really ramped up soldier support, behavioral health support, family support, because when a soldier's overseas and they're worried about their family back in the States, you know, not making ends meet, or they don't have the emotional support that they need. So the Army ramped up family readiness groups so that they would have, and I mean, we really just full, you know, body slam caring for people. We did it with a vengeance. And just so many great programs came into being. And that's the Army that I grew up in as a leader. Mm-hmm. And so I embraced that. I think some of my peers might have not really known what to do with that. That was awfully touchy-feely. But I loved it, and I saw the value. And I was just really thankful that I had those resources available to me as a leader.
I think what's amazing is just like the multifaceted nature of what you just said, right? Like, the when you were talking about retention, right? If we want people to stay, it's a volunteer thing. We've got to engage them. We've got to treat them right. We have to do all these things. And like that cascades into business. That cascades, I mean, into family. It's like that's being a good human.
I was gonna
almost,
say, that's a human
right?
thing.
Yeah. that's incredible though. Like, I don't know, maybe it's just like ignorance on my part, but like when I think of just like military, like that's not the first thing that comes to mind, like you had said earlier, mm-hmm. right? So maybe that's a perspective shift that needs to happen on a grander scale. I don't know.
And we use the term family a lot. Every office that I've been into is essentially my family. And by the time we're all done and we're all getting ready to part, we're talking about each other as family. My cadets use the term family about the Big Red Battalion here at mm-hmm. UNL.
Oh, wow.
It's just a sense of belonging. And for some of these cadets, the whole reason they do it, they show up on day one and they're like, wow, I instantly have a group of people who have my best interests in mind, want to see me succeed, help me keep up with my grades, my physical fitness, mm-hmm. and are just overall cool mm-hmm. people to be around. And it's like instant community. Probably like a sorority or fraternity, but, you know, our end state is military leadership.
Yeah.
yeah.
But like still drives purpose, right? Like
right.
That's incredible.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And so how has it... So last night I had the privilege of hearing you kind of speak about your experiences and how you plan to kind of take that into a next level after you retire, but you kind of talked about how that's helped you having this like thought of basically being what we just said, a decent human at mm-hmm. the end of the day, but it really helped you work in diverse situations. And I think that's something that our community and business leaders really struggle with is how to have diversity and inclusion mm-hmm. happen. And so what were some of the things that you felt made you successful as you were leading, you know, variant people from mm-hmm. various countries in this really kind of desolate place? How has that manifested into team building for
you? That's a great question.
So thank you for sending me the questions ahead of time because I got a chance to think about this idea of the common thread. Uh-huh. What was the common thread in these diverse situations? And honestly, at the end of the day, it's about trust. Mm-hmm. It's really about trust. When I was deployed to Afghanistan and I got the opportunity to go out into communities, mm-hmm. we had a backpack mission. It was a voluntary thing that we could do, but we would take school supplies to the kids in the local neighborhoods. And the women were allowed to actually go into the homes because of their culture. Men mm-hmm. weren't allowed to go into the homes. So I actually got to go into these homes and sit with these families on the floor, on their rugs, drinking tea and eating almonds and playing ball with their kids. And at the end of the day, I'm like, you're just a family trying to do the best you can to raise the next generation. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to do.
Right.
That's what all of my peers are trying to do. We're all just human beings. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, if I know that you've got my back, I'm going to work with you, whether you're Albanian or in the Navy or the Marines. Or
I like how you had to get that one in there.
Yeah, even the Marines. And, you know, once you establish that I've got your back, you've got my back, let's just get after it because we got to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's just make it as pleasant as it can be and let's all get home. And that experience really just taught me it's about human connection. Everything is about human connection.
Is that your defining moment though? Like with all the purpose and everything that you're trying to instill in the people that you're working with on a daily basis, like can you trace it back to that being the epicenter of what fuels you today?
Yes, I'm very relationship focused. I think even in business, the speed of relationships. In my coming up in the Army, I had a network of friends mm-hmm. across an installation, all women. We would do 5Ks together and, you know, get together for coffee and dinner and do all these fun things. But when I needed a lawyer, I could just call her. Even if she had mm-hmm. a stack of things on her desk, she was going to take my call because of the relationship. Mm-hmm. I had a finance question. I could call my friend in finance, get an answer immediately. And these weren't just answers for me. These were answers that were going to help soldiers. So mm-hmm. my relationship with those people impacted the customers that I was serving as a human resource officer. And I do not think we can underestimate the speed of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
And I think it's, you know, as we think about personal relationships and people are always like, oh, it's business, it's not personal. And I kind of take the view of, I do think business is very personal for a lot of reasons, but, and I think you just touched on it, right? People are more apt to get to you and partner with you. So what are some of the kind of core tenets, I would say, then, of what you've learned with relationship building and what you think businesses could start applying and how that could affect our work world?
Yeah, so I hesitate to make a lot of assumptions about how business is because I don't know. But I can say as an emerging business person, you know, starting my own company and doing things right and doing things with integrity, mm-hmm. there's a personal growth just in starting your own company if you want to do it right. And then you have to interact with other people in quality ways and integrity so that they want to continue to work with you. Mm-hmm. So I just think integrity is huge. Mm-hmm. It's really, and it goes back to trust, right?
Right.
If I order a supply from you and you say you're going to get it to me in 2 days and that's 5 days later and now I've missed the deadline for whatever I'm trying to get done for a customer.
Yeah, you're done.
I can't trust you. I'm going to move on.
Right.
But if every time you say you're going to deliver and you do, not only am I thankful and I'm going to be a return customer, I just fell in love with you.
Right. Well, that's the kicker though, right? People do business with people they like, know, and trust.
Right.
Right. But you mentioned starting a business. Like, talk to me about that. What's going on there?
Well, I don't want to get too far down that since I'm still in uniform, but...
just like cliff
sure,
notes, 35,000
feet. My vision for everything that I've accomplished, you know, the military is definitely a challenging... as great as it is, it's also hard on families. And, you know, my mm-hmm. husband's also active duty and we've somehow raised amazing kids. And it's thankfully for great childcare and great teachers and people mm-hmm. from church and friends and family. You know, it really took a village to raise these amazing people I enjoy hanging out with. But what I when I So I'm going to be a life coach. And one of the things that we talk about is longing and discontent. So what was it that I was discontent with in the Army? It was time away from family primarily. Mm-hmm. It is stressful because you don't want to fail and you don't want to let your team members down or your nation. I mean, talk about a huge audience that you serve, right? But I do want to take what I learned from that and apply it to a new customer base. So, you know, human potential is amazing. Mm-hmm. And when everybody is firing on all cylinders, which
magic happens.
You know, I couldn't have won a war by myself, but I was an important part of a team that did, you know, and so when you see what you can do together, it's just inspiring. But I think it really starts with somebody believing that they have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And I just want to help people find their purpose. And as they're facing their fears to step outside their comfort zone, I think I've got enough experience stepping in out of my comfort zone and facing my fears, yep. Getting on a plane to Afghanistan and leaving my kids behind.
Right.
That was a huge step of faith. So I'm like, if I can do that, because I'm not any better or any worse than anyone else, but if I can do that, you can file for an LLC and start applying for business insurance and we can do this, you know? So, and I've seen that happen in a few of the people I've coached already, mm-hmm. and it's just phenomenal.
Their
lights turn on, they get excited, and beautiful.
Yeah. Well, you'll crush that, right?
Yeah. And I hope so.
Well, I think everybody needs that, like that moment with that one person that helps them identify, like it's in you already.
Right.
Right. Like I remember growing
up.
It's
all in there. It is.
And I remember growing up, people would always be like, you know, you're going to do great things and you have so much talent and like all these things. And there was a long time where I doubted myself, mm-hmm. right? And before I started my first company in Denver, Colorado, I was working at this other organization. And one of the junior partners, like that dude was able to like help amplify that and give me the confidence to like tap into it. And once I started to like I identify that stuff, I felt like I was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And then I started my Denver company and then started a company here in Lincoln. And now I'm with Firespray. And it's mm-hmm. like all these things, but without Kyle,
right?
I don't think I could have done it.
I had those people in the Army. And it, you know, I was just a kid. I got decent grades and I played sports, but nothing, like I wasn't a superstar at anything. And I joined the Army and then it was like one by one, each job I had, there was one or two key leaders that would stop me and, hey, what are you doing? You know, it was a little bit depressing when I first joined because it was very, it was a lot of culture shock for me. And mm-hmm. I'm just a do the right thing kind of person. And in mm-hmm. basic training, not everybody was doing the right thing because you're bringing so many diverse people together for the first time and they're all feeling each other out and it gets wonky. And I was just like scared out of my mind. You know, and my drill sergeant telling me that she was going to send me to jail was a technique, but ultimately she was saying, you can do this and you're going to do this. Mm-hmm. And then I had another drill sergeant the day before a physical fitness test. He gave us like this really cool pep talk and I ran like a minute faster. And then I get to my next unit and there's a thing called a Soldier of the Month board. I didn't have any idea what that was. I had to go for it before a panel of these high-ranking people and answer a bunch of questions. And he studied with me till I memorized the entire study book. He's like, nope, I'm going to ask you this again until you get it. And I went in there and I nailed it because I could.
Yeah. Right.
But that is not something I would have put myself through.
Right.
You know, but he believed in me. And so that's what I've tried to replicate with my cadets. It's what I've always tried to replicate with my soldiers. If you don't believe in yourself, believe in my belief.
Mm-hmm. And so I think you kind of touched on something that the city of Lincoln is currently starting to try to understand, and that we are an open city. And so we have a very high immigration population here, which is amazing.
Yes.
But some people, you know, you stick to what you know and what you're comfortable with, and you were thrown into this moment of diversity and being uncomfortable. And so I think something people struggle with is being uncomfortable and being okay with being uncomfortable. So what were some of the maybe like tips you have for people as they start to encounter people of different backgrounds or ethnicity or language gaps and barriers? Like what were some of the things that you learned through those moments and then through your career that you would recommend to other people?
Honestly, start with family. Start with a discussion about family, because that is the common denominator. We all have families, okay? So I had to go into a number of situations where we would sit down with somebody, a leader from Afghanistan, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say I'm a type A person, but I'm a very like bottom line up front. Like, what's the topic of what we're going to talk about? How much time do we have to talk about it? What are our objectives? And mm-hmm. let's get out of here. They don't operate like that over there. You're going to have like an hour long discussion about family while you're drinking tea. And you're like, I almost forget what you came here to talk about. But they really just want to draw you in as a human being first. And I thought, isn't that interesting?
Uh-huh.
We have so much to learn from other cultures.
Yes.
But everybody's excited to talk about their kids. Right. So I think, you know, if you can work your way into how long have you been here and, you know, do you have any kids and where do they go to school, and they'll light up. They really will. It's amazing.
That's so interesting. Just one simple question.
Right.
Kind of can change the course of that. So I think as it comes to like team building, that's also making sure that we're connecting to the starting point of mm-hmm. like our team members and just kind of remembering them in those moments.
So who are they? What are they interested in outside of work?
Yeah.
You know, finding common ground or.
Well, and knowing those things about people, like if you're in a leadership position, right? Like you're better equipped to manage somebody if you know who they are and how do they communicate, what motivates them, what inspires them. Like those things are important to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows you to develop like actual relationships. You mentioned earlier, like business it's business. It's not personal, right?
Yeah.
But like if it's just business and there is no personal connection, then it's just sterile. And then I think that that's a big thing that's like lending itself to like in our conversation, we talked to Ed O'Boyle and we're talking about just like all these people that are disengaged.
Yeah, that would be like, a primary reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And so. I think, so Jamie last night was just sharing about how her teams have kind of been overachievers in a way, and that you've always exceeded your mark or the metric that you're being held to. And so outside of just, you know, caring, because your passion for what you do and the people you work with just was so infectious last night. But as you think about having that mission or end goal in mind, I think that's something that everyone then can relate around. But what do you think what tools did you use that kind of helped you elevate your team to that next level?
Well, one of the things that we say a lot in the military is if you're a good leader, you take responsibility for the mistakes and you give credit for the success. So when I shared the note from the uh-huh. general that we got, I would put those on the door to our office. So every single person that came through our office saw the attaboy, attagirl note from the general. And that gave them a sense of pride, like, I was a part of that. I came up with that matrix mm-hmm. and I'm the one that collects that information every day. And I'm the one that sends it in on time. And look, we are being recognized for that. So I think that's just a really important, to share the credit.
Share the glory.
Yeah. I'm just really the person that turns it in. I didn't do anything, but I'm the one getting the, you know, the notes. Hey, Jamie, great job. I'm like, got it, sir. And then I'll go right back to my team and be like, look what he said.
Yeah, and I think you also said that you're the one that hits the sword, right? If something does go wrong, you don't excuse it out or put it on your team members, but you're like, nope, I'm the leader. And you held yourself accountable to any mistakes or misgivings. And I think that's something that a lot of people, we have almost this culture that we've developed this fear of failure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something as a society we have to get over, because if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough.
Or you're not learning.
Well, and do you know anybody that doesn't fail? Do you not fail?
Oh, I fail all the time.
Same.
Ask my team.
Right. So yeah, I just think as leaders, we have to apply the same level of grace.
Yes.
To our employees that we would want from our boss when we had a bad day or something didn't go right at home before we got to work and it made us late for a deadline. Like, I just try, you know, I've screwed up too. I'm going to take responsibility for this, and I'm going to learn that because we are all human, I need to set up more checks for myself to say, hey, are we going to meet that deadline ahead of time, not when it's already too late.
Well, and a good leader points with the thumbs. Right? Mm-hmm. Like it's so much more effective when people own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody fails,
yeah,
and they own it, like what can happen with the team around them in terms of like respect and trust and just like admiration, and I'm going to strive to be more like this person. Like there's a lot of positive and benefit that comes out of mm-hmm. that, right? It's very powerful.
Yeah. And so I think it's really interesting talking with you, Jamie, from two perspectives. One, from the military. And so I think it's a very different lens and but you're also a consumer, not working necessarily in the business world, and you're here at the Do More Good Conference. And we've had just kind of side small anecdotal conversations where you're just like, I didn't know businesses operated this way. So as somebody who's coming into the business world and you're working on kind of getting your own thing started when you are retired, what do you think people are aware that there's this level of like groundswell happening within the business world?
I don't think so, because this is primarily in this area, correct? Is there, do you, I don't know of any other initiatives going on.
We were talking to Jay Cohen Gilbert this morning, and he's the founder of B Corp, and he said, what, 62 countries?
62 countries, and there's 2,600 certified benefit corporations, and those are the people who have passed the third-party evaluation that they're financially transparent and accountable to certain, like, give-back metrics of being socially
And then 8,000 additional companies that are, like,
raise their hand.
Yeah.
And then 20,000 are in the process of like.
That's awesome.
But that's 20,000 of 750,000 companies starting every year.
Right.
So it's still very
it's still a sliver,
but it is this new thing. So as a betting entrepreneur, like, what does this kind of do to your thinking and sphere as you go to enter the business space?
I think just knowing that I will have opportunities to come to events like this and be inspired and build a network with like-minded people who really want to see the world move in a much more positive direction. I just got to say, I think Lincoln is phenomenal just to begin with.
Yes.
There really is such a thing as Nebraska nice. And so I love that this is happening here, because of course it is. But I would encourage businesses, if they have never heard of this or are hesitant because it seems too touchy-feely, that's why I like it, but if it seems too touchy-feely, just look at the numbers. I mean, some of the facts and figures that we saw yesterday, the proof is in the profit, right?
Well, it builds that connection. And this, to me, again, when we business, personal, and relationships, this makes a business build a relationship that's beyond just like, oh, I do this for Andrew, but no, Firespring stands for this. And we do this because our company does this thing and we know the impact we're making. And so,
and it's inclusive impact, right? Like it's there's buy-in and people feel good about being a part of something that's doing good.
Yeah.
I think that's the kicker.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. And so when it comes to being a life coach, I feel like based on being a human resource officer and kind of guiding teams, you've been a life coach for a very long time, outside of it being your future like end game. But what is that kind of process like of, if you were to be giving a 5-minute synopsis, like what are some of the things that you tell people to think about daily to kind of help them get through those really hard times or when it's really stressful and challenging?
Just life in general?
Yeah. Or like if they're in the Army or military and they're really struggling to get through those tough times, like, I feel like whether it's in that moment or in their personal life, probably some similarities would be ringing true there.
Right. So personally, I have gone through a bit of a shift in myself as I, was making the decision to make this transition. There are so many emotions that go on for somebody who their whole adult life has been wrapped up in the military. And so just trying to process all of that and feeling like I was going to be letting people down or be walking away from something that's been so important to me and the people in it that I love. And so I just was really wrestling with a lot of emotions and I was in my head a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So I think in those moments where you feel like isolating yourself and just staying in bed as often as you can, that is like a prompt to reach out. And that's what I would do. I would force myself, as embarrassing as it felt in the moment, to admit that this strong military leader, Lieutenant Colonel, runs programs and does all this cool stuff, been to Afghanistan, would not want to get out of bed. Seems silly, but I would reach out to those people I'd built connection with, and they're like, been there, done that, sister. I got your back. You just call me anytime. And you just have so many people out there that would do that for you in a second, no matter the time of day. So I would just say, when you feel like you just want to isolate yourself, that's the time to reach out. And vulnerability opens so many doors. And just like sharing last night, you know, I was putting myself at risk for, you know, you know, being vulnerable, but just the people that came up to me afterwards and they were like, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for being a vulnerable female leader. It inspires me. You know, it gives me hope that I can do that too. You know, if I would have tried to be anybody but myself and project something other than what I was, you guys would have seen through it in a second and I probably wouldn't be here today. You're like, that podcast thing you were going to come to do, we're good.
That's the beauty of vulnerability though, right? Is it like it doesn't require it to be forced. You know what I mean? It's real right. And it's genuine. And like, I think one of the best byproducts of vulnerability is what it does for self-awareness.
Yeah.
Right? Like you have these moments when you are vulnerable where if you're listening and you're attentive, there's things happening inside of you that like can take you to a whole another level of being in tune with who you are and what your purpose is and where you're supposed to go.
And I thought about this. I'll just add this real quick. When I was in Afghanistan and I was having a hard time at one point, I reached out to one of the Belgian officers who he was an older officer. You know, he had daughters that were graduated out of high school and probably through college. So I looked at him as kind of like a father figure type situation. And
sure.
I just told him what was going on. And that just completely changed our relationship. Like it was more of a transactional work relationship mm-hmm. up until that point. And then I was vulnerable with him. And after that, I mean, I think that's really when we started growing as a team is he was more open after that. You know, other people were more open with him. We all became very close, but it took one person just, okay, I don't have it all together.
Taking a risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes great leaders. And it's something that Andrew and I talk about, you know, offline a lot is being that vulnerable, putting yourself out there. And some people think in old business world viewed it as weakness. And now it's a sign of strength that, no, I'm okay yep. letting this guard down. And the rest of me is good. I've got it. But here's the thing. Here's a truth point. And mm-hmm. I think it's pretty inspiring.
Well, so. I think people respect it and it helps like inspire trust too.
Yes.
Right? Like people will view you as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of leaders out there that like people are scared as hell to approach.
Yep.
You know, but if somebody is vulnerable and then that develops trust, then that also makes them more approachable. Like it's wins across the board.
It is.
It really is. So
it opens up communication.
Yeah.
Sure.
And that's the big thing right there, mm-hmm. right? Communication and transparency are everything.
Yep.
If you don't have that, not everybody's rowing in the right direction, not even close.
And they may not understand it in the moment. You know, sometimes I've
rarely
shared,
do we.
I shared some things, you know, I've shared with some things with soldiers and things in the past. And at the moment they were like, okay, ma'am. 5 years later, they're going through the same thing. And I get an email, mm-hmm. ma'am, I thought about that conversation we had 5 years ago and it really helped me get through this. And I'm like, it was worth it. Even if you thought I was nuts at the time, it was worth it.
And that's the thing is you don't know if it's going to be an instant thing, mm-hmm. right? And that's every conversation that we have with somebody is an opportunity for impact.
Right.
And it isn't necessarily going to be like immediate. Mm-hmm. It could be just like you said, years down the road, that's what triggers in the brain and it helps somebody.
And they at least know you cared
exactly.
enough to say something.
Right.
Right.
Right. It's huge. Jamie, thank you so much for just joining us today and just like sharing your story with us and super inspiring. I really like talking to
thank
you.
Thank you very for much. Your service.
Yes, absolutely.
We'd be remiss if we didn't say yeah. that. So,
well, thank you for your support for real.
No, we're just two nerds with mics. Like it's,
I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And you made it easy. So that was awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
I know. And I think what I loved about chatting with Jamie today is that she brings a very different perspective, but that it's not that different, right?
There were so many like common threads and common themes.
Yeah.
And for me, there was like a big, like, I realized there's a perspective like shift that has to happen.
Huge.
Right? That like, and I think I said it in our conversation, but like when I think military, that's not like where my brain immediately goes to. But after talking to her, there's definitely some perspective that needs to change. That
well, and it's
really
just
powerful.
It's a human game.
Right.
And I think we forget about that.
It makes it real. It makes it real. And like, wow, Koobs, like you always bring the fire, but like, whew, you brought the heat on that one too.
I do.
That was
what
good.
I can
that
every
was
now
good.
And then.
So give me a little knuckle bump there. So awesome. Well, this was fun. I appreciate like just the whole setup.
It's a good combo.
It was indeed.
Ready for the next one.
Same. So thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Make sure that you connect with us on all of our social media platforms.
Please,
if you guys
do.
Have insight or questions or suggestions for who you would like to come on the show.
Or if you're out there making impact with either your company or your initiative or a mission that you're putting out there, let us know.
Absolutely. We'd love to pick your brain and just be a resource for you, right?
Exactly. That's what we do best.
That's what we do. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we'll catch you on the flip.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies, but TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
My name is Ella, and I make Ella Bella Beads bracelets.
Ella's bracelets raise money for the Children's Hunger Project.
They're really pretty.
At American Family Insurance, we believe you're never too young to have a dream. So today, we're supporting Ella's.
My dream is to sell a gazillion bracelets so that no kids are hungry.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find your dream champion at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies, but TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.